Again, welcome to the local church. If you don't know me, if we haven't met yet, my name is Glenn Jacobson. I'm the Minister of Stewardship here at TLC. And this is a picture of my lovely wife, Trish. And today's a really good day. It's one of the best days of the year for me because 33 years ago today, my wife and I welcomed our firstborn son, Taylor, into this world. So he's watching on the live stream, so I just want to wish him a happy birthday. We also want to give a big hello to those of you who are watching on the live stream and you weren't able to make it here today. If you're ill, we're going to lift up prayers for your healing. If you're taking advantage of this long holiday weekend, we're going to pray for your protection, for you and your family. And if you're just checking us out, if you're just looking to see, hey, what's this TLC thing all about? We want you to come visit us because we think you'd really, really love it here. This morning, I have the privilege of concluding our Unshakable series with a study of Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. But since Memorial Day is just on Monday, I want to do something a little bit different here. Now, as Justin said, Memorial Day is really a commemoration of those who made the ultimate sacrifice. I want those of you who have served in the armed forces, are serving in the armed forces, as well as your families, to please stand. Please stand. Stay standing, stay standing. The reason I want to do this is because they made a decision when they enlisted, when they got commissioned, when they went into the armed forces. They made a commitment that they would make the ultimate sacrifice. So for that, they need to be recognized. So thank you, all of you, for your service. And the reason I include the families there is because the families serve right alongside them. Yeah, they're not deployed, they're not on a boat somewhere, they're not in a firefight necessarily, but you know what? They're taking care of things at home so that the one that's actually deployed can take care of their business. So thank you. Thank you all. So I personally served in the Navy, but today I want to share a story about a soldier. Go Navy, but I want to share a story about a soldier, and he's a true hero, and his name is Colonel Ralph Puckett. Now, Colonel Puckett was a legend. He led Army Rangers and paratroopers in Korea and Vietnam. He is one of the most respected figures in Ranger history, and he was the last living Medal of Honor recipient from the Korean War, and he died just last year. Got a picture of him up here. I mean, what a guy, right? So I want to tell the story about him. So he was in two wars. So in November of 1950, so this is the Korean War, Puckett was ordered to take and hold Hill 205 near Unsan. And during some intense fighting there, he was wounded not once, not twice, but three times. So he ended up collapsing in a foxhole, and the Chinese are overrunning his position. Two of his Rangers found him, and one of them asked him, "Sir, are you hurt?" So in typical Ranger fashion, he later recalled that he thought that was the dumbest question he'd ever heard. But instead, he ordered his men to leave him behind so that they could get to safety. But what did these Rangers do? They ignored him. They instead, they picked him up. They literally carried him and dragged him by his wrists down the hill across sheer rock faces, rocky slopes, and they're all taking heavy enemy fire that are firing down upon them. Talk about loyalty. Talk about valor. Years later, in August of 1967, the Vietnam War, Puckett was a battalion commander with the 101st Airborne near Duc Pha. When he and his men came under heavy artillery fire, Puckett again dispersed his men to safer positions, and he laid up in a foxhole. From there, he kept his guys supplied with ammo as well as encouragement. When rescue helicopters finally arrived, he repeatedly refused to be evacuated, insisting that the wounded be taken out first. At times, he would actually stand out in the open, drawing artillery fire down upon himself so that his men could get to safety. So his unbelievable courage and willingness to make the ultimate sacrifice for his troops came from a deep-seated belief in the Ranger Creed. And I can just imagine these words echoing in his soul that day. The Ranger Creed, never shall I fail my comrades. Surrender is not a Ranger word. I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy. And as I was listening to worship today, he won't fail. He will never fail. And you don't have to be a soldier to understand the powerful message here, never leaving a comrade behind, because it points to something even bigger. It points directly to God's unwavering love for us. Amen. And if you're anything like me, you need to hear this today. God is absolutely in control. He works everything out for our good. He will not fail you. He will not abandon you. And he will never let you fall into the enemy's hands. This is precisely what Paul is teaching the churches in Rome in the passage we're looking at today. And it leads us to one amazing truth. Nothing can separate us from God's love. So as I was studying and preparing this week, the Holy Spirit really impressed upon me how crucial it is for us to truly grasp what's at stake if we don't fully embrace this truth. TLC, if you say God's word is truth, but you've allowed fear, anxiety, and doubt to creep into your life, you're not really living. You're just getting by. And that's not the abundant life that God called you to live. So instead of reaching out and serving others, are you turning inward, constantly questioning whether your relationship with God is conditional? Instead of boldly sharing the good news with someone that desperately needs to hear it, are you withdrawing in fear, wondering if God has given up on you? Instead of pushing through those tough times that will inevitably come, are you giving in to the temptations of the world and the enemy? So if I'm being honest, it wasn't too long ago when all of that could have described me. What I didn't realize at the time was that the Holy Spirit was working on my heart, speaking the truths of Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, directly into my heart. And when I realized that, it changed everything for me. So now, when I'm on my knees, desperately praying for a miracle, I know that no matter what happens, the truth is that God is working everything out for my good. Now, when those doubts creep in and I wonder if God could ever give up on me, the truth rings clear. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Now, when those familiar voices in my head try to tell me that some sin I've done is unforgivable, the truth shouts louder. God will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When you truly live with the absolute certainty that nothing can separate you from God, everything in your life will be transformed. So if you could take your Bibles, and if you have the big black Bibles that you can get a copy of in the back, if you turn to page 1003, would you please stand with me as I read Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39? What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, Because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. So, all right, let's dive into this passage from Paul. Again, it's a letter that Paul is writing to the churches in Rome, the early churches, and he's doing something really interesting here, isn't he? So he throws out a question, but then he answers that question with another question. Now, this wasn't some random thing that he was doing here. Paul was an educated guy. He was educated by some of the preeminent thinkers of his time, philosophers, religious leaders. He was using a teaching style that was popular then, and honestly, it's still very powerful now. And why is that? Well, when you ask questions, it causes you to think. And it makes us think. It makes us dig a little deeper to reveal God's inspiration that's tucked away in his word. Now, this little chunk of text, just these 9 verses, present us with 3 absolute certainties about God that Paul is using to reassure and encourage those believers in the churches of Rome who are suffering from persecution, uncertainty, and doubt. Not unlike a lot of what we feel here as well. So in verse 31, he kicks things off with a couple questions. Okay? So what then are we to say about these things? Well, that's just a fancy way of saying therefore. And so if you recall what Pastor Justin has taught us previously in the series, what does therefore mean? Therefore means we got to go back. We got to look back at what had previously been written. So these things that Paul's talking about, it's all the suffering that he's been laying out in chapter 8 and the chapters before. He's saying, yeah, life as believers, it's going to have its rough patches. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be pain. But hold on. What else have we learned about what Paul said from Pastor Justin and Ben and Jake? So think back. So the previous weeks, as we've gone through this series, we see that Paul also outlines 7 amazing promises that God has given. That's good news, isn't it? That's the gospel. Could it get any better than that? Absolutely. And Paul sums all of that up in the second question that makes up verse 31. Now, he's not asking this question just to hear himself talk. He's delivering a rock-solid truth, and that's the first one we're going to focus on this morning. And that truth is God is absolutely, undeniably for us. So think about it. God is for us. Even Old Testament believers knew this. They sang about it in the Psalms. So remember Psalm 23:4, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Psalm 56, verse 9, this I know, God is for me. Second part of that, who's against us? Well, sometimes it feels like the whole world is coming at us, right? The pressures of our life and our own weaknesses are pulling us down. And yeah, let's be real. The enemy is out there trying to cause trouble. But if you've put your trust in Jesus, you've got this incredible, powerful team on your side, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are all for you. So have you seen those videos where the whole movie theater loses it when something epic happens, like a surprise character shows up or they drop this Easter egg on you? This clip immediately came to mind when I thought of this verse, so check it out. I love that. I could watch that all day long. I gotta get my head back in the game here. I just love it. Yeah, it's just a Marvel movie. So if you don't recognize that, that's from Avengers Endgame, right? And so, you know, you've got Thanos, you've got Thor on the ground. And don't we feel like Thor sometimes? Back up against the wall, or we're on the ground, we're totally exhausted, and we're just getting pummeled, right? Just beat up. We're watching more bad guys closing in, and we're just hoping, praying that someone comes in for us. And then, bam, like in the video, Cap shows up, Mjolnir, the hammer, comes to him. You see Thor go, "I knew it." And that's how I feel. When I'm down, he always comes through for me. He always does. When the going gets tough, I know God's got my back. And when my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ see that with me or anybody else, they celebrate that too. It just feels right, you know? Look, we're just humans living in a messed up world. We're in a broken world. But when we genuinely believe that God is for us, it changes everything. We can walk with a confidence that nothing can shake because we know who's got our back. Knowing this truth frees us from being weighed down, chained up to fear and worry. God isn't just watching from the sidelines. He's actively on our side. The other thing I want you to note, when you look at the verses here, do you notice that it's all in the present tense? It's is, it's are. It's all in the present tense. This means that God is alive and working, past, present, and future. Isn't that wonderful? So when those doubts creep in, when life throws you that curveball, remind yourself every single day, God is for me. Let that truth reshape how you pray. Give you the boldness to share your faith, and give you the strength to keep going no matter what. So Paul presses on, and he takes it a step further in verses 32 through 34. Here he's reminding us that God didn't hold anything back. He gave us his most precious gift, his only son, Jesus. And this is the second truth that's revealed in this text. God gave his son. Think about that. If God was willing to sacrifice his only son for our salvation, do you think he'd skimp on anything else we could possibly need? It just doesn't add up. It's like if someone gives you their most prized possession, don't you think they would help you take care of it? Of course they would. So this wasn't some random act. It was a deliberate choice driven by unconditional love. And it means we're justified, declared righteous in God's eyes. And knowing this, how can we possibly fall into despair? Doing that, we can face life with boldness because God has already spoken the final verdict. So when those moments of doubt creep in, when you feel like you're up against it, remember this. We are his. And he's got us. Anyone who comes against you is picking a fight with God's chosen. And guess what? The victory, it's already ours. That's why we can walk with our heads held high, with boldness in our steps. God has declared us justified. Amen. So noted theologian G.E. Ladd says this, "The root idea in justification is the declaration of God, the righteous judge, that the man who believes in Christ, sinful though he may be, is righteous, is viewed as being righteous because in Christ he has come into a righteous relationship with God." Isn't that amazing? Okay, when she was younger, my daughter Alex was totally into this movie called A Knight's Tale. Has anybody seen it? It's great. Heath Ledger. Great thing. But there's a scene where the bad guy, his name's Count Adhemar, is trash-talking Heath Ledger's character, William Hatcher, during a joust. And he says, all dramatically as part of it, "You have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting." Remember that? Well, that's actually a throwback to the Bible. So if you recall Daniel chapter 5, verse 27, it's the story about King Belshazzar and the writing on the wall. Tekel is Aramaic and means, "You have been weighed on the balance and found deficient." And it got me thinking, isn't that how it feels sometimes as we live in this broken world, that we're constantly being weighed and measured? And yeah, at times, the scale seems tipped way against us. On our own, there's no way we can fix that. There's no way that we can make that balance right. But that's where Jesus comes in, right? He is our great advocate, interceding for us right there at the right hand of the Father. And remember, the right hand is a place of honor. So now, when we put our trust in him, that scale now tips heavily into our favor. And instead of hearing that we've been found wanting, because we're connected to Christ, we can be assured that we're actually found wanted. It totally flips the script. So, when the accusations fly, when the condemnation stings, don't let it take root. Stand firm on this truth. And instead of firing back, extend them the grace that has been extended to you. Because when all is said and done, nobody, nobody can stand against God's final word on who we are. So everything we've been talking about, everything Paul's been building up to so far in this letter boils down to these last five verses. Verses 35 through 39. So I want you to read this. And I want you to hang on to this. And I want it to sink deep into your bones. Because you can live in the freedom this brings. You can be brave. You can have a deep, settled peace. And you can walk through this life with a confidence that just won't quit because, get this, nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from God's love. It's a done deal. And this third truth in this text has been sealed by Jesus himself. God assures us nothing will separate us from his love. So life's going to throw punches, and there's going to be some hard ones. Affliction, tough times, feeling like everything is crumbling down around you. That's part of living in a world that's just not quite right. Paul knew this. He even quoted Psalm 44:22. And that sounds pretty rough, right? Being led to slaughter. But the point he was making was, yeah, believers, there's going to be opposition, and there's going to be stuff that happens to you that tries to make you think God's bailed on you. But that's a lie. Paul assures us that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Look at Paul. Prison, beatings, stonings, shipwrecks. Not one, not two, not three. Three shipwrecks. And being a Navy guy, I'm like, man, that's a pretty poor sailor, right? Three shipwrecks? Come on. So Paul's been through the ringer. But he knew these things couldn't touch God's love for him, but also couldn't touch Paul's love for God. And it's the same for us. We might feel that God is distant sometimes. We might face situations that make us question everything. But Paul says these things don't change God's love. Paul was crystal clear. Nothing up in the heavens or on earth can separate you from God's love in Jesus. So no matter what you're facing, you've got to plant your feet firmly on this truth. Nothing can cut you off from Christ's love. So when things get tough, that's the time to remember you're not losing. You're actually winning big time through the one who showed his love for you by going all in. So God's love, it's your backbone. It's your foundation. It's what's going to get you through and help you come out on top. So think of it like Pastor Justin said last week. Lose the battle, win the war. The war's already won. So we might lose a few battles. But again, the big picture is God's already got the victory locked down. All he wants from you is to stick with him. Trust him. Trust that he is working everything out for your good, even when you can't see how. Even when you're hurting. Even when you've lost something or someone. When you feel like you're in a spiritual battle, you can live like a winner, not a loser, because Jesus has already won. So no matter what you've done, what you're going through, what scares you, that love between you and God through Jesus, it's unshakable. That's comfort you can hold on to. That's security that won't budge. It frees you from worrying about losing God's favor and lets you live with real peace, knowing you belong to him. It gives you the strength to keep going, knowing his love is constant, no matter what. So can you feel it? Nothing can separate us from God. And isn't that the heart of it all? Isn't that the gospel, the good news? A father who loves you so much, he gave up his one and only son. A savior who loves you so much, he willingly gave his life, telling his father, "Not my will, but yours be done." It's normal to feel anxious when life gets heavy. But even when you're scared, you've got to lean into what you know. God is on your side. He knew you before you were even born. He called you. He's made you right with him. And he's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to finish what he started. So why would he abandon you now? Don't let anything or anyone take away the fact that he's committed to you. So if you're sitting here today and you felt distant from God, like he's not around, maybe he's given up on you, Paul's words are for you. He is here, and he is for you. And if you want to know more about how God and his son have made a way for you to have a life full of peace and joy now and forever, please find me, find Pastor Justin or any of our team after the service, or fill out that Connect card and bring it to the glass room and get your swag. We'd love to talk to you about next steps. So look, life's got its share of tough stuff. But we don't have to be victims. Paul's message is clear. Even in the hard times, nothing can separate God's love from us through Jesus. Even when it feels like a fight, when we can live with the confidence of victory because Christ has already won it for us. We can live with confidence because God is for us. We can live with boldness because God has already pronounced the final verdict. And we can face life's challenges with a mindset of victory, not defeat. God called you to live a life where you are thriving, not just surviving. He called you to live a life with confidence, to live with boldness, to live a life where you face life's challenges head on. We can live this way because God is for us, and nothing can separate us from his love. TLC, we've got to grab hold of this truth with everything we've got. Can you imagine what our church could be like if we did that? Can you imagine what our world could be like if we believers did that? Think of the impact we could have on our community and the world if we live boldly, forgive freely, and love unconditionally, knowing the battle's already won. We don't have to be afraid of the struggles. We're not in this alone. We have a Lord and Savior who will never let us down, never give up on us, and will never let us fail. He won't fail. His love, it's rock solid. It's unshakable. The Army Ranger motto is "Rangers lead the way." Well, we look to King Jesus to lead our way. Time and again, God shows us that he is for us. And if God is for us, what does it matter who may be against us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your word. And thank you for your son, Jesus, who made the ultimate sacrifice to give us a way to redemption and eternal life. We pray all this through the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.